It's coming up this Friday, the worldwide climate strike led by young people who face a lifetime of, afraid to say, climate misery, watching some semblance of normal life maybe collapsing, with nothing to be done on a ruined planet with the warming inexorably rising. That scenario is not a science fiction plot device. It could really happen. It's a warning from the vast majority of climate scientists. Today in the studio, I've asked three of these young people who are trying to make sure that humanity has a future. So Lana, Jackson, and Deneen, introduce yourself and tell us why you came today to radio on KABU.
Hi, I'm Lana Paris, and I'm a junior at Cleveland High School. I came here today to advocate for our movement.
Hi, I'm Deneen O'Rourke. I'm a campaign organizer with 350 PDX.
Hi, I'm Jackson Calhoun. I am a sophomore at Rex Putnam High School, and I came here today to spread the word about our strike and raise awareness about the environment.
There's a possibility of a dismal future.
So, as regards to the wording dismal future, I don't think I see a dismal future. I think I see possibility because we have been advocating. I get so much hope looking at all these people who have come together and really worked so hard in order to advocate for this movement and for our future. And so I know it seems dismal. I have hope for the future because I get to see the real work that just people such as like Jackson, Deneen, I get to see what they do every day with their lives. And I get to really be there and put the work in. And because of that, I gain hope.
I think what you're saying is like, if we don't do anything, the future is probably going to be pretty dismal. And what Lana's saying, which is pretty awesome, is, well, it's not going to be that way because we're going to make it not that way because we're going to like do good stuff.
Yes, exactly. And Deneen, this is not a one-day event. It's at least a week, and it will continue. 350 has been organizing the whole week. Deneen, why don't you tell about that?
Right. So the beauty of this event is that it doesn't just stop on September 20th. We're really trying to ignite an entire movement to continue on and keep being active and keep building power and recruiting new people to join us. So around the world, September 20th launches us into a week of action where people around the world will be taking bold action to stop the climate crisis throughout that week and beyond. So here in Portland, we have a number of really exciting events happening throughout that week. And one that I really wanted to highlight for everyone here is the Stop Zenith Vigil that will be happening from Tuesday, September 24th until Thursday, the 26th. So for 60 solid hours, community members, faith leaders, musicians and artists, and people concerned about the Zenith facility will be gathering to keep a watchful presence on the Zenith Oil tar sands terminal in northwest Portland. Yeah,
they're getting tar sands from eastern Canada by rail, right? And then they're shipping it to the Far East to burn tar sands oil.
That's correct. And tar sands oil is known as the most polluting form of energy on the entire planet. So here in Portland, we're really just, time is up, really, for the city of Portland to be continuing to import and allow Zenith energy to exist in our city. If we want to call ourselves a leader in tackling the climate crisis, there is no way that we can be allowing Zenith energy to continue operating in our city. And part of the message that we're hoping to send with this week of action is making that very clear to Mayor Wheeler and the city commissioners that if they want to be climate leaders and stand with these really amazing young people, then they need to stop Zenith energy.
What else is happening in the week in Portland besides the climate strike on the 20th?
There will be a really amazing panel the Sunday after the strikes on the 22nd, hosted by the International Coalition for Human Rights in the Philippines. And that forum is on environmental justice in the Philippines and more of an international perspective on this crisis. There will be a lot of volunteer orientations for 350 PDX so people can join the movement for the long term. That's one of our biggest goals here. An event on Thursday, the 26th, about big timber and the climate emergency, hosted by Center for Sustainable Economy. So I'm going to direct everyone here listening to go to climatestrikeoregon.org. And on there, you can see not just the events in Portland, but all across the state. There's a beautiful map where you can see events happening throughout the week. And you can also sign up and stay involved.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. Lana and Jackson, you've been organizing for the Friday for the climate strike. Tell us about that.
Sure. So on Friday, we're meeting at Portland City Hall at 10:30 a.m. to have kind of a rally to support our demands and demand that our demands are met. And then we'll march across the Hawthorne and arrive at OMSI for this climate fair, which kind of like what Danine was touching on is meant to get people involved moving forward and so that we are growing our movement. At my high school specifically, well, actually, I'll start with the PPS thing, Portland Public Schools letter that they sent to try and get support went really well in PPS, and we tried to mirror that in my school district, which is North Clackamas, and it did not go well. And so we are not allowed to leave school without getting an unexcused absence. So we are doing a separate rally on our school courtyard earlier in the day, like right when school starts. And then we are asking students to come into Portland to get an excused absence from their parent or something, to come into Portland if they want, but we're not emphasizing it as much.
Lana, what's happening at Cleveland?
Yeah, so Cleveland is part of Portland Public Schools, and Portland Public Schools has been on pretty positive neutrality just in terms of climate justice because they did recently pass a climate justice resolution. I am on the PPS Climate Justice Committee. As in terms with kind of circling this particular strike, my school actually did let us put flyers up, which they didn't last year. We were not allowed to speak at the assembly, but I think that was just terms of timing. So I'm really positive moving forward about Portland Public Schools because I have had experiences in the past that wouldn't be favorable, but as we move forward and look towards the future, I am positive in our interactions and knowing that we can move forward despite that and continue to learn and grow.
Are all the high schools in Portland, are they organized to come? Earlier we were talking, and you're really confident that there's going to be participation from a lot of the students.
Yeah.
How did you manage to alert people and involve them?
Well, as I usually say, social media is activism's double-edged sword, right? Because social media can sometimes cheapen a meaning, but it also is the way that most youth can reach out to their community, right? Because if you put something on Instagram these days, you can start a movement. And just that simple action, that simple, like, show of support, it does reach people, right? Social media is a web of connection.
My sense is that even people who are not really active, they can be activated because they know that something desperate is wrong. What's your sense?
Climate change is a factor in many of the people I know just in regards to their future, right? A lot of youth I know are having concerns about whether they want to have kids, whether that's ethical or not, what kind of future they'd like to have, because we go out there and we indebt ourselves to these billion-dollar institutions just to go towards a future that we can't even hope to look forward to, right? So it's just this combination of just looking towards the future and wanting to see something, but also seeing this duality of like knowledge, right? Because knowledge is power in social media. Sometimes it's the only source of knowledge we can acquire, right? Because as we circulate through like these movements and gaining traction and all of these things, as we look towards knowledge and we recognize like these circumstances of privilege and education, we also see that our future is holding stake. Our future is uncertain. And that's why we do these things. That's why we march for these movements, because there's no other choice, right? There's no other way we can show our support.
Jackson, you have some ideas on that issue?
I think to specifically answer your question, I sure hope that we can activate other students. I mean, how can they not notice that inaction is going to make their lives a whole lot worse in the future? And so I think it's definitely possible to activate other students, and I'm really hoping that we succeed. And that's kind of the goal, I think, of the festival at OMSI, is to begin activating other students.
I'm talking today to Danine O'Rourke, Jackson Calhoun, Lana Paris. We've been talking about the climate strike coming up Friday, September 20th, 10:30 at City Hall. We've been discussing the politicization of young people, their fears. We've also been talking about the strike and what's going to happen and how it's going to be an ongoing operation. At least for me, this is one of the most promising things to happen in my lifetime. And I heard Martin Luther King talk when I was in college in 1962, and you could see the room filled up, and then there were people waiting, and you could see there was something happening in this country that was going to grow and grow. And I have a sense right now that that's happening, but not just in this country, in every country. I mean, climate change is so much more severe, actually, in many other places. My sense is it will be an international movement. Why don't all three of you talk about the possibilities of that international movement growing? And it won't be undermined by nationalism and racism. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think we kind of have to be a strong international movement so that we stop the climate catastrophe. There's kind of no other way to it. And definitely we need to unite and include everyone in the decisions being made, especially those that are most affected. And that's the kind of strong international movement that we need to build. So I think that we are going to.
I think growing up in America, a country that adheres to a form of white nationalism that can be debilitating to see in everyday practice, especially as a person of color or as a youth, I think that just seeing the youth grow despite that, seeing people move forward despite that, is what's giving me hope, because I have interacted with the world as a person of color. I've interacted with the world through queer spaces, and I see that climate change is interconnected, right? It's interconnected with every other issue you can fight for. We all live on the same earth, and it encompasses every other issue that it doesn't even, that we don't even talk about, right? And it's connected to immigrants' workers' rights. It's connected to environmental racism. It's connected to inherent misogyny. And just talking about climate change is fighting for all these issues, right? We are fighting for the world.
Deneen, I think you're going to get the last word. You're right in it with all of those students. You're a millennial, though. Tell us how it is to work with people.
I'm 24 years old, and when I was born in 1995, the world was at 360 parts per million of carbon dioxide. So I have never lived in a world without the climate crisis. And so to me, that is like the turning point of what it means to be a young person growing up in a world that has never been like a safe future for us to dream of. We've always had this looming threat of the climate crisis on our shoulders. And when I was a senior in high school, I grew up on Eastern Long Island in New York. And when I was a senior in high school, Hurricane Sandy hit my community. And it wasn't as bad as most other parts in New York, but it still really woke me up and made me realize that the place where I live is under extreme threat. And there's really only one other option to do with the rest of my life, is to fight this crisis head on in any way I can. And so it can be very challenging a lot of the time. It feels very personal, but I feel more hopeful than I've ever felt before doing this work for almost the past 7 years because of, you know, people like Jackson and Lana and all of the amazing high schoolers that I've gotten to work with through this strike. There's so much determination and unwillingness to give up in any way. And it's inspiring. And I know that the future of this movement is like, we have the roadmap and the blueprint for how to restructure all of society in the Green New Deal.
Hey, I'm inspired. Again, Friday at City Hall at 10:30, then to march across the bridge to OMSI. There's going to be all sorts of exhibits, talks, people to meet, interesting organizations that are going to be seeking participation. So that's next Friday. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Can I make one more plug for climatestrikeoregon.org? And that's how you can see all the events around the state.
Thank you. I think you have a future in radio. Hey, thank all of you, Jackson, Lana, Deneen.
We're in the same boat, brother. We're in the same boat, brother. And if you shake one end, you're gonna rock the other. It's the same boat, brother. A lot of look down from his holy place. He said, Lord, and me, what a sea of space. What a spot to launch the human race. So he built him a boat for a mixed up crew, with eyes of black and brown and blue. So that's how come that you and I got just one world, that's just one sky. We're in the same.